say again that we welcome you here today. Every time I get up here, it's a privilege and a responsibility. It doesn't matter whether the auditorium is full or whether there are many who are unable to be here at that particular moment. And I do hope that our time together is a useful time, and that's always my goal. Some of you may be Jeff Foxworthy fans. This guy has built a career, a very formidable career, over you might be a redneck if. And he has, I guess, millions of these things now where he asks that question, and you've probably heard him do that many times. Things like, you might be a redneck if your mother ever got into a fist fight at a high school sporting event. If you ever mowed your lawn and found a car. The only picture of your grandpa is a mugshot, and you have no idea how many pets you have. And he just goes on and on and on. The genius of what he's done is that he's been able to stand between two groups. And there's these groups that identify with what he's saying, and there's this group that's going, yeah, those are the guys. And all of them find it funny, and because of his personality, he's able to really bring the absolute positive out of that. Usually, though, when you have one of those you might be if kind of statements, there's a positive group and a group who likely is going to be offended by that kind of approach. And this morning, we're going to look at a group who's going to be offended by what Jesus had to say. The group of the Pharisees. Pharisees are everywhere in Jesus' life. They're constantly bringing problems, constantly bringing burdens. And we look at that and we read through that and we identify these guys as the bad guys. These are the villains. You wouldn't have any trouble finding them at all in that particular type of context. But the scary part about it is a lot of their behavior is behavior that we find in ourselves today. And constantly we have to go back to that idea of, am I being a Pharisee? You might be a Pharisee. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Start in verse 37 and go down through verse 44. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Jesus goes on, woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it. The Pharisees was a party that arose during the period of time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. At some times they're described as a political party. Other times historically they're viewed as a social movement. Sometimes identified as a school of thought. But they very definitely impacted not only the culture of the time, but certainly of the Jewish living. They were impressed with authority. They had concern about recognition. They did at times go to great lengths to make converts, but they observed or practiced the legalistic minutiae of the law. And all in all, you could sum them up as being legalists. Jesus, though, called them hypocrites. You may have noticed in the passage that was just read from Matthew chapter 6, it doesn't say Pharisee, it says hypocrites, because that word becomes virtually interchangeable in the way Jesus approached them. I don't know about you, but it's kind of frightening to think, can I be hypocritical in my Christianity? Is there somebody looking at me who's hearing me say one thing and act in another way? Who believes that I should function according to the will of Christ and instead I seem to be following the influence of Satan in more and more situations? In Matthew chapter 23,
Jesus, we're switching over, changes, he addresses the Pharisees in a long chapter and gives them just a scathing kind of a dismissal. And if you read Matthew 23, you'll see that. In Luke, though, he only mentions three things. And because they're so numerous in Matthew chapter 23, I think we have a tendency to overlook them. And I'm really grateful for the passage in Luke because it gives us three things that we can very simply ask ourselves as we try to question whether we're a Pharisee. The first thing that he points out to them, based on verses 39 and 41 of the one things we've just read, they're focused on the outside. And I've used this before, but can you imagine going to dinner at someone's home and your hostess takes up the plates and the cups and she doesn't bother to rinse them out even. She just very carefully washes or wipes off the outside and puts them back up in the china cabinet. You'd probably be thinking, I need to warn anybody who might be coming to eat here in the future. That's just not something that makes any sense to us. And yet we all get caught up in the outside. The Pharisees were caught up in the outside. We live in a time when society has turned this literally into an art form. That's what we're about so many times. It's not about who we are inside. It's about what we can project on the outside. You can go into any bookstore and you'll find any number of books that will help you to improve your appearance, improve the outer portion of your life. And we've come to believe that if we can take care of that segment, that everything else is going to fit together. And the Pharisees practice that, and certainly Jesus is making it clear to them that it doesn't work that way. The outside is easier to change. You can change your clothes, you can change your car, you can change your address, you can change your persona. You can do that very simply and in a very short period of time, and usually even without a great deal of money. And you present a brand new image. And what's happened to the core? Well, we don't have time for the core. I'm busy. I'm making money. I'm accomplishing things. I'm going somewhere in the world, and I'm trying to demonstrate to everybody around me that I'm one of these upwardly mobile people. What about the inside? I think probably the most difficult question is, who do you want around you in times of difficulty? If you have a need, do you want a Pharisee? Do you want a hypocrite? I don't. I want one of those salt of the earth, hardcore Christian people that's just a foundational person that has this inside that's just so true and so right and so real that they've achieved a level of maturity that they really have things to offer to other people. They don't have to be shiny and impressive on the outside, and many of them aren't. But what they have inside is so beautiful and so useful. Jesus called them the salt of the earth people. We sometimes even use that. And as we look about and as we challenge ourselves and as we say, well, who do I want to be? I want to be one of those salt of the earth people. And that may mean that I don't spend as much time on the outside because I'm focused on the inside. The second thing we could ask ourselves is, you know, you might be a Pharisee if you major in minors. They liked detail. And Jesus here uses the detail of you harvest your herbs and you count out 10% for tithing. Now, many of us, and I've got this to do very shortly, it's time to, if you've been raising herbs this summer, it's time to store some of those for the winter. You know, in my case, it's rosemary and oregano and basil. You want to bring those things in, and I don't have so much that it amounts to a great deal. What kind of effort would it take to actually count out the leaves? Or maybe separate just a little bit, maybe weigh it in some way? How could you actually be so dedicated that you'd give 10% of the basil, 10% of the mint that's referred to here? And a lot of people look at that, especially at that time, and say, wow, these guys are really, really, real religious. Because they're given 10% of the tiniest little thing. And yet they get so caught up in that that they miss out on a lot of things. One of the things they miss out on is people. They're not real concerned about people. They're much more concerned about whether you're having the Sabbath day holy or not. They're more concerned about whether your hands are clean. They're more concerned about what you eat. And probably the most flagrant example is in John chapter 8, where they bring in the woman who's caught in adultery simply to use her as a trap and a foil for Jesus, with no concern at all for her kind of situation. Recently, September 18th and 19th, was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is practiced among the Jews. And that's a very special time in Jewish practice, and certainly a very special time in Israel. There are people who take a feather and sweep out their cabinets so there won't be any yeast in their cabinets on Yom Kippur. The nation of Israel, and I was reminded of this in a news story as this happened just a couple of weeks ago, obviously a nation would own food supplies for various kinds of reasons. And the problem becomes there are things in those food supplies, especially things that have yeast, that would be forbidden to have on Yom Kippur. So what is this nation going to do with these resources that they've got stocked in order to help or provide or whatever? Well, they can't own them on the day of Yom Kippur. So they sell them to an Arab for one day. And then after Yom Kippur is concluded, then they buy them back. And this has been going on for decades. You get so caught up in that legalistic stuff, keeping those rules, the tiniest rules, and they become for us a living example of how focused on the minutiae that you can be and really miss out on what's going on in life. Now, does Jesus say to them, you are wrong, wrong, wrong? He said, no, it doesn't. He says, yeah, these things are right. These things are important, but they're not as important as the things you have forgotten, the things that you are ignoring. The last thing, you might be a Pharisee if you're motivated by how things look. That's hard, because we like to be approved of. We like to be accepted by people. We don't like to have other people looking down on us or creating conflict in our life, and so we like to look good. A number of years ago, back at the latter days that I was still working at Guthrie, we had two services each Sunday morning. And the youth minister came to me one day and he said, the young people have noticed that you don't take communion. And I was like, well, the young people are all at the second service. And he said, yeah, I know that. Well, I take communion at the first service. And he said, well, you think you could take it twice? I was like, why would I do that? Well, because then they could see you do that. Well, we've missed the point. We've totally gotten past what this is about to get to the place where it's an illusion that we want to support. But I think that also is an indication of how easily we can slip into that kind of approach. Yeah, you could make an argument for that. You could say that maybe it would be okay to do that, and then that leads to something else. Something else, something else. The Pharisees had been at it for so long that they just had this great desire to have the approval of the people. They wanted all of those positive things to be coming their way. Jesus said about them, very, very scary, and it was in the passage that was read just a few minutes ago, they have received their full reward. When the people said, oh, you're great. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're so impressive. Ah, you just, you inspire me and you motivate me. And Jesus says, that felt good, didn't it? Well, that's all there is. There's nothing in the afterlife. You're not laying up any treasures from heaven. The only reward you get is what you get from the outside, from people being impressed with what you're doing. And Jesus was so concerned about what they were doing and so concerned with his followers that he said to them in Matthew chapter 23, you have to obey them because they sit in Moses' seat, but don't you dare do what they do because they don't practice what they preach. Matthew chapter 21, verse 31, the last part. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Now, just for a minute, think of yourself as a Pharisee in that time. You're so puffed up. You're so proud. You're so impressed with yourself. And Jesus says, the lowest people that you could identify are actually more spiritual than you. And sometimes people look at that verse and say, well, do we know they're really talking to the Pharisees? You go down a few more verses to verses 45 and 46. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. When they looked at the Pharisees, they saw hypocrites. They saw hypocrisy. No charge sticks like the charge of hypocrisy. And people look at Christians, they look at Christianity, they look at us individually, they look at us collectively, and they say, they're hypocrites. And the reason they can say that is because it's partially true. Not true of everyone, not true in every situation. But if you want to believe that, you can find enough evidence to reinforce that belief. That's why we have such a challenge to be authentic and to be transparent and to be real. And when we mess up, to say we've messed up and to ask for forgiveness from the people we've hurt, from our Heavenly Father. The interesting thing to me is that Jesus doesn't hesitate to call them on it very publicly. Matthew chapter 23, this rendering from Luke 11, other places as well. He wants people to know that what they're doing isn't right. Paul is going to do a similar kind of thing. John in his writings is going to do a similar kind of thing. They're going to call out people. They're going to tell folks, don't listen, don't be involved with these folks. These folks are not right for you. Maybe there are times when we need to confront each other just a little bit. Are you sure you're being the kind of person you want to be? Are you sure you're representing the values that you claim to have? Are you looking very carefully to make sure there's no hypocrisy that's going on in your life? Just a few chapters later, in Luke chapter 18, there's the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. And we know how the Pharisee looks arrogantly at this other guy and says, Lord, I thank you I'm not like him. And the publican says, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And we have very carefully and very effectively drawn lines between those two situations. In closing this morning, I'd like to call your attention to John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Jesus says there, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. We look around and we say, this hypocrisy is such an overwhelming thing that it's taking over. And Jesus comes back to his disciples and says, don't be confused by that. There's a place, there's a moment in time when I call my people out. Church is called the called out people. When we gather here today, We're moving away from society. We're moving away from the time, moving away from the stresses of life to have a particular period of focus about spiritual things. Jesus says, I'm going to call you away from that. And so as it looks perhaps sometimes that hypocrisy is winning, Jesus says to the Pharisees and to all of them, don't worry about it. The day is coming. If you listen to my voice, if you hear what I say, if you're connected to me, then you're going to escape this. The spirit of the Pharisees does such incredible damage. And now for just a second, flip it. How many of you have been injured by the attitude of the Pharisees? How many of you have been put into pain because of hypocrisy? And when you feel your own pain, and when you feel your own situation, and when you can view it from your own perspective, it makes you so much more aware of the fact that I don't want to do that to somebody else. Who are you going to be today? You're going to belong to Jesus, or are you going to belong to the things of the world? The major in those minors, emphasizing the outside, or looking for reward that other people will see from things that you do? Or are you really going to focus on this spiritual core, this spiritual heart that's so important? This morning we offer an invitation, not a man-made invitation, but an invitation of God. And if you need to respond to